go. The John Curley Sherry Elliker Show, and you right along with us. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com. You can come on in through the State Roofing text line, 1-888-973-5476. Oh, welcome, teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. We'll choose letter of the day. Great honor bestowed by...
Hi, Teeny. Teeny, say hi to Sherry.
Yeah, never mind. Diving in today! We get so many great letters. We try to read as many as we possibly can at 5:45, somewhere in there. We don't get to all of them, but it's really something because it feels like such a one-way street. Doesn't Sherry? We talk into this microphone, and you don't know who's out there. But it really is a big two-way street, so it gets response from people. We adore it. So there's an interesting letter that came to us from Erica, a trans listener who wrote last week. I'll read this. That's too long. Let's go on to the next topic. No, I'm kidding. Here we go. Okay, quote, my granddaughter is 15 now, was born right when I was coming out as trans. There was never, ever any need to have any of this kind of self-aggrandizing discussion with her. I'm an old fart. Well, welcome to the show then. Now going to UW for a degree and run into this stuff every day. I have been out for 15 years. I can tell you that it's a lot more difficult for me now than it ever was. Well, I appreciate the support from the community at first. I really don't need their help. I'm doing fine on my own. 10, 20 years ago, I could go fishing and hunting in Eastern Washington. People might be confused. Sure, I'd get some stares, but I always went out on my way. They always went out of the way. They'd be accommodating, polite, and sympathetic to other people's sensibilities as possible. Okay, I usually made friends wherever I went. It is not like that today. Erica, this is a compelling letter. Why is it not like that today?
I unfortunately, I think it is from too much help and from a real issue that affects people, that people wrestle with every day, being turned into a trend and then being picked up by political parties for points. And that's a shame. It's a real shame to see it that way, because the last time I was over there, it was about 2 years ago, and it was just openly hot. You know, people weren't throwing things at me or anything. Uh-huh. I can take care of myself, but it was just, there was a hostility and it wasn't there before. Like I say, it was just confusion. And I see that even around town. You know, I still have some friends from the work I used to do. And, you know, we talk about it and I see they're, you know, they understand, but you know, they get pushed to one side, you know, because it's shoved down their throat constantly. I told all my friends that Trump was going to happen long before he ever did, because you can't approach people that way. You can't pick a fight where one doesn't exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I always sort of look at it, the whole trans issue, as sort of the sort of libertarian point of view, which is live and let live. Go ahead. You know, it doesn't go ahead. What you want to do is entirely up to you. That I hope it brings you joy. I hope you have great fulfillment in life and you're satisfied and you're peaceful and all the other stuff that goes with, you know, generally finding your way through this world. But then I think what happened was, is then when it sort of became, oh no, I need you to affirm. I need you to let me be in the locker room with, somebody that previously was in locker room with all females, biological females. I think that's when it started. People started to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because you transitioned, you said 15 years ago, and it was sort of more of a live and let live. And now you sense that people have gotten behind the activism of it. You're swept up in it now. So they see you as, oh, you're part of the problem.
Well, that's what I worry about. And I have to fall all over myself to try and be accommodating. And it's not my job, but by the same token, what right do I have to make my problems everybody else's? You know, I started transitioning 15 years ago. It wasn't until just the last few years that I was able to finally finish surgeries. Yeah, I had to go to locker rooms with women, all women. You know, it was really simple. I was very discreet. I hid in the corner. I changed. It was never an issue. And I hear people talk, oh, my God, you know, we're going to get this. No, just use common sense. You know, if I was concerned about something when I went in someplace, I would just talk to somebody discreetly off to the side. You know, I am a trans woman. Is there any issues with that? you know, what right do I have to stomp into the middle of the party and demand that everybody else drop all of their sensibilities to get it? It's not. That's not okay. I don't know. I guess I'm old, too. I'm an old fart, and I can't, you know, it's just the era that I was raised in, the same era you were. And it's a shame when I'm at school, you know, I find this little TPUSA, Turning Point USA. It's a political activism group, conservative.
Yeah, Charlie Kirk.
Great bunch of kids, right? Well, not bunch. There's very, very tiny representation on campus. But, you know, they had a little tabling thing out front. And some trans kid came by, flipped the table over, threw everything around, had a big fit. I went to their meetings before. These kids were nothing but absolutely polite, gracious, kind, and they invited disagreement. Now, sure, I'm not going to agree with them on everything. I'm not going to agree with you on everything. But Jesus, can't we just have a conversation? I don't understand what... Anyway, sorry.
No, it's all right.
What do you think of the number of teens and younger kids now identifying as trans? Do you think that there's some sort of a, it's trendy, it's the thing to do, or do you think that it's just now becoming acceptable, so therefore all these kids that might have been not willing or not able to come out are coming out now as trans?
Both of those. It's both of those. Because, you know, John, you remember back in the 80s, it was cool to be bi. You know, I remember there was about a 10-year period. You know, it was really cool to be androgynous and bi. And then, you know, tapered off, and then it wasn't anymore. Yeah, there's fads that come along with this. And great, the acceptance, I'm all about more acceptance. I mean, when I first came out, it was still a little rough. People were getting beat up on Capitol Hill, and, you know, there was some stuff going on. But it's both of those things. And what really troubles me is, of course, House Bill 5599. I was just rereading that again earlier. There was absolutely no point in that at all.
So the bill you're responding to is the fact that a child can say, they run away from home, they leave their house. Isn't that it? That's the bill you're referring to? Right. And then they say to an affirming care place, I'm trans, self-diagnosed, even though it's 0.01%. It's primarily young men, boys between the ages of 2 and 4. They feel as if they're not biologically connected to their body. It's but in the state of Washington, all you have to do as a teenager is say, I'm trans. I need a self-affirming care. And then the state can keep all of that information from the parent, and the parent might, in some cases, not know where the child is.
Oh yeah, no, it's just absolutely it's horribly written, for one, and it's just a bad idea. I mean, there's no need for it because there's enough rules, there's enough things in place, and DSHS has enough of its own problems. It doesn't need anything else to be dealing with right now. And neither do any of the other private organizations. And it's going to really detract from the kids that really do need help, that very small percentage that does, and that can be addressed on a case-by-case basis. This is nothing more than just another attempt to, hey, everybody, you know, oh, no, you know, and Inslee can get up there and get all his accolades for, you know, being so progressive.
I've got friends that are gay that don't like being necessarily alphabetized. They're like, look, we got our thing. We've straightened stuff out. We're good. We don't want a whole bunch of extra letters attached to who we are, because then all of a sudden they're judging us as this big group of victims. And most of my gay friends are like, I'm not a victim. I'm doing really well, a lot better than you are, they say. So to them, they don't want all the additional letters attached. So do you, as a trans person, do you feel there's safety in numbers if you have the LGBTQ plus all around you?
Yeah, you know, not necessarily. No. You know, where I feel most comfortable is like at a church that's accepting, even though I don't identify as Christian. My theology's different. I don't think she really cares how you get to her, just so long as you do. And so there's many different paths. That's where I feel most comfortable, because I don't have to deal with the issue. for most cases, it's about 27th on the list of things I am when I describe who I am to people. And it's pretty obvious.
You said that in your letter to us. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, Erica, yeah. What do you think? I mean, I don't want to pry, but at what age did you transition? And did you believe or do you think that these puberty blockers and some of these chemical things that are going on for kids are healthy, or do you have a problem with it?
No.
You know,
oh, well, I got big problems. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
no,
off.
No, go ahead.
Huge problem. Can you hear my voice got lower too? I got huge problems with that. There is no. There, you know, there's about 0.03 intersects that this is appropriate for. And there is a certain amount that it's appropriate for and needs to be handled, and it has been, okay? But nobody needs to be doing permanent changes under 18. I'm sorry. No, done. And I can't find any literature, okay? This is what I'm going to school for, okay? I'm going into research. And nobody has been able to provide me with any kind of good, solid studies or research showing how this is going to lower the death rate from suicide. It's not. Community well, having a group that you're around, sure, that's great. Okay, like I say, you know, I blow it off as trendy. My pronoun is princess. You know, I just on my nose a lot of it. But, I understand. You know, these kids, that's awesome. That community, that building, that acceptance, right on. I'm with it all the way. But there is no need for a permanent change because I myself, just one person, okay, I've run into a half dozen regretters. And I don't, like, go out and speak at places or anything. I've seen it too many times from people my age all the way down to 18. And, you've just got to think for a minute. You know, I knew who I was since my very earliest memory. I started transitioning, like I say, when I was about 45, 44, right in there. And it was a rough go. I mean, I had a steel business. I was actually an iron worker. I mean, I tied rebar, that stuff. You see it sticking up out of the concrete for 25 years. Yeah. And that's as tough as it gets. There's nobody tougher on the job.
Erica, did you tow the I-beam or did you walk on top of it?
No, we walk on top occasionally. We did the
there
rebar.
You go.
Work.
That's my girl.
I-beams are for those big boys who like to scream and yell. They don't know how to work. No, ironwork, wood rods, tie and seal.
Got it. All right. So where do you think this all goes? With Princess's crystal ball, I think facts. And unfortunately, facts are the first to go because then people don't have to have a rational argument. They don't have to support it.
Mm-hmm.
Fact, can a man become a woman? Can a woman become a man?
If you're talking about biological sex, well, of course not. You know, and that's where it gets tough because when you're going through it, you know, it hurts. I don't want to get all boohoo on you or base the argument on emotion, but it does. I mean, there's a lot of things that really sting. There's been a lot. I much prefer to laugh about it because I spend enough time crying. But we're going to be there pretty soon. I mean, the biotech advances are absurd right now. But no, when you're a biological sex, you're not going to be biologically, okay, like Chris, what's his name, or the Dave Chappelle said, you know, we all pass through the legs of a woman. That just happens to all of us. That's nature. That's life. I love it. I don't have a problem with that. But it's not, you know, and it's not 100% binary. It never is in anything in nature. You know,
well, it's binary. There's male and female. My theory, Erica, is there's a male and there's a female. Those are the two biological sexes. But there's an infinity when it comes to personality. They used to say when the girl that would climb the tree and like to build stuff, well, she's a tomboy. But now she's actually a boy trapped in a girl's body. And there are boys that were more effeminate. Now, all of a sudden, that's a boy trapped in a girl's body or the reverse of that. But the personalities there are infinite number of personalities.
Oh, sure.
But you're working with inside the either male or female. To me, they don't want logic because logic would be is binary. The facts are mm-hmm. binary, but the multiple, you know, different types of personalities that can be displayed go on and on and on and on. If you just want to live and let live, do I need to affirm you and affirm your choices?
Yes. Do it now, do. John.
Mm. Well, now I know you're an iron worker. Oh, look out. No, honestly, that's what we're constantly being told. I need to affirm. I need to use your pronouns.
Right. Yeah, nobody needs to affirm anything. You know, all I ever ask for is manners. You know, you don't have to accept me. It's not your job to accept me, okay? If I'm the odd person in the group, okay, it's incumbent upon me to do the best I can for the next person that comes after me. And that means I might have to do extra than somebody else. Boo hoo, right? Everybody yeah. has a cross to bear. We all have a burden. There's kids dying of cancer everywhere. And the world's yeah. going to stop for me and my gender issue? No. You know, and it's the way we used to say it, and what the way I still like to say it, it's real simple. Sex is between your legs. Gender is between your ears and in your heart. You know, that's wow. where it is. And I don't mind having gender not be binary. I think that's a uh-huh. great way of explaining yeah. it. But yet, sex, yeah. when you're in the doctor's office, you have to do, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow, I'm going to give you a hot take. There you go. We never give that to anybody that calls in, but you earned it. Hey, you are a delightful, delightful human being.
Oh, thank you so much.
You are welcome. Sherry, say something to Erica.
Erica, it was such a pleasure. It was such a pleasure to ask or to have you on the show. And thank you for writing in. I hope you'll keep listening.
Absolutely, you guys. I really appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend.
Wait, don't go.
Oh, no,
who asked better questions, me or Sherry? Just out of curiosity. That's no big deal.
I want to ask who asked the most questions.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Jeez. Wow. Okay.
Jacob.
Wow. Oh, Erica. Geez. Wow. I thought we were friends. Interesting.
You know what? I'm not going to talk next segment, Sherry. Okay. Erica, thanks for coming on. Appreciate
again.
It. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, yes.
All right. Yeah. Bye-bye. There you go. Okay. I'm sorry. And I didn't even ask any good questions. By the way, did you notice Katie Stone said good question to you, Sherry?
Yes, of course. Does that surprise you?
No, not anymore.
Right. And
because Jacob tells them ahead of time to say that.
No, I don't believe he did that.
Okay.
Jacob?
Right. I did not coordinate with Kate before ahead of time, no.
You're just a good interviewer.
She could just be a list. She could be, you know.
No, I just keep firing off questions until I finally get it. That's a good question. I never get it. All righty. Here we are. John Curley, Sherry Ellicott Show, and you along for the ride. Much appreciated. Guilty as charged of this next story, Sherry. Customer ratings are becoming meaningless as people hand out 5 stars like candy.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk in the Wall Street Journal about this guy who's sitting in the back seat of some car, Uber car. It smells horrible, and it just sounds like an awful ride. Does he end up giving the guy 5 stars or the best he can possibly get as an Uber driver driving a car, a stinky car?
Yes, because people are guilted into giving the 5 stars nowadays. They're very worried about the fact that, you know, it could affect this person's livelihood. And they're weighted really heavily. I mean, for instance, if Lyft drivers get below a 4.8 rating, they're asked to really adjust their performance, whatever it is. If they get uh-huh. below a 4.6, they can get deactivated. So people know uh-huh. this, and they think, you know, I got there on time. I got there safe. It's all right. I'll just give them a 5. So uh-huh. really, you can't really trust the 5 stars because everybody's just handing them out like candy.
I just say that I remember one time when I was working as a waiter, this guy calls me over and he says, I'm not going to give you, I think that at the time is 15%. I'm not going to give you 15%. What I'm going to give you is something that's going to make you guaranteed 15% or more every single time you wait on a table. This is at a place called Buzz's River Cafe in Brooklyn. He said, three things that you did incorrectly, and that's why I'm going to only tip you 10%. And he explained the first one, the salad plate was warm. It obviously had just come out of the dishwasher. Don't put a salad down on a hot plate. That's one. Two, and then he named the other two. I can't remember what they were. He goes, so I'm going to tip you 10%, and you'll know this, so next time you'll get a better tip. All right? And it kind of hurt at first, and I was busy with other tables. I didn't have time for a lecture. But I actually appreciated it, I mean, now, 40 years later, because it was like, if he didn't say anything and he gave me 20 or gave me whatever the tip would have been, I wouldn't become better at it. Like the guy with the stinky car and the Uber thing, you should probably say something because the service, you keep dumbing down the service, you keep downgrading the service based upon everybody's afraid for somebody else that they're not going to be able to make as much money. So the guy's going to be driving around with stinkier and stinkier stuff in the car.
Well, yeah, I mean, they could reflect it in the tip. They could give him 5 stars, but give him a lousy tip because of the fact that they felt the service was diminished because of the smelly car. Just like your guy could have given you the full amount, the appropriate amount of a tip, and then said to you, okay, I'm going to give you a tip here, but here's, I'm going to give you another tip, which yes. is this and this and this,
yeah.
which would have been more fair than, you know, jipping you out of the tip and then also being, you know, a little, I don't
didactic
know.
And bombastic.
Would yeah. do you think you remembered it better because he didn't tip you all the way?
Yes, because I give a 15% tip. He said when the service is excellent, your service was not excellent because you missed these three things. So therefore, I'm going to give you 10%, but I'm going to teach you how to do excellent service. He obviously was in the restaurant business, I'm assuming. The same sort of thing. Like, you get out of the car with the Uber driver guy, and you go, hey, you know what? The car, whatever you're eating, it really stinks. And, you know, the next group of people might not be as accommodating as I am or whatever. And, you know, probably want to throw out the stinky fruit or something, right? But I think people also want to be liked. It's this weird thing. Like, even I do that in Uber. Stinky car, can't put the windows down, blah, blah. And I still give him a good rating because I don't want him to hurt my rating. Why I care about that rating, I don't know. Plus, also, it's like, I don't want him to speak ill of me. So then you give him a good tip. And now it's completely arbitrary and not based on service. It's based on we all want to kind of get along and not have uncomfortable conversations about, you know, stinky stuff.
Well, yeah, and you are worried about your rating, and you know, depending
can't
on
sleep.
How, where
sure can't where, sleep. Last night, where, had a death time. I look at it every 4 hours.
I mean, when you think about it, it's like whose rating comes first? So, do they see their rating and then rate you, or do they rate you and then you do your rating? Because sure, if somebody gives me like a 3, I'm not giving them a 5. I'm going to be mad at him.
I believe it should be anonymous on both ends in a certain sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So you should, that shouldn't be a factor in anyone's decision is the idea.
Okay.
It's like in China, they have the social credit score. We've talked about this before. And they can stop you from booking tickets on an airline. They can stop you from buying stuff online. They have about 1 million people that they're right now monitoring. And they're going to see how much time you spend online. They find out whether you hold the door for somebody. If you get onto a subway car and you don't give up your seat for somebody who's older, well, then that costs you points. You have a certain number of points, and you get the points deducted, and it drops down to a certain level. It then affects you in a whole variety of your life. It's just like a credit score. But in this case, it's a social score. And they're doing it to try to make people just better people, or at least more accommodating to, you know, your fellow neighbor there, spitting on the sidewalk. If they get video of something like that, they got videos all over, they got cameras all over the place. So they keep track of all of it. They want people to behave, and they'll do that. And what the cost is, you start to have some of your freedom reduced, or you start to pay more for certain things.
And you know what the number one thing that drivers say passengers do that upset them and cause them to give a lower rate?
The number one thing that drivers
I'm
do?
I'm sorry, that passengers do, that drivers give them a lower rate because of that behavior.
Can I guess? I have an idea.
Oh, is it like, wow. Here we go.
Is it slamming the door? I feel like
slamming the door. Yeah, yeah. Slamming the door when you get out of the car.
Huh. Slamming the door.
Could that have been a factor in your lower rating briefly, John? Were you too aggressive?
No, I'm very, very respectful of that. Plus, I always, whenever I have to talk on the phone, if I do get on the phone, I'll say to the guy, I'm sorry, I'm going to take this call. I'm sorry that I'm doing this. I don't want to bother you. I'm like, no, that's okay. Go ahead. No, fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, now you're in trouble.
It's okay.
It's my Turkish accent, Sherry.
Right. Yeah, but
Chokran.
The reality is that these fives given to both customer and passenger really don't mean anything anymore. I mean, if you look it up or whatever, it's like it's just being given out because people feel bad. They would never want somebody to be fired over a lower score when the ride was adequate. I wouldn't give anybody a less than a five. I know I would. Even if it wasn't good, I would still give them a five.
I got in a ride share the other day, and the guy had one of those blow and goes because I guess he's a DUI threat or something. So he had me blow into the tube so he could start
the car.
No,
he did not.
No, he didn't.
That's not real.
That's not true. Come here, Thomas. That's not true. He wouldn't have that job. You know that.
All right. Yeah, I can't make jokes. Huh? Don't know how to make jokes?
Sure, you can make jokes.
All right. Oh, yeah, here we are. People love pop culture, and if you could actually own a piece of pop culture and then have it sitting in your house, and then be one of those things everybody wants to go look at it. I've met a couple of people that have bought a whole bunch of interesting stuff. You're like, oh yeah, let me show you. Oh, I was Kennedy, the guy loves JFK, has JFK's pipe, has like a couple of his pens, has a chair. And I said, we just spent, I don't want to tell you what I spent on this sort of stuff, but it's weird because it's just like, oh, there's his pen. Like, yep. And then you just sort of make a few comments because you don't want to make the guy feel bad about his JFK pen. And you just sort of move on to the next thing he's got. Like Johnny Carson's desk is now up for auction. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Is it the outfit worn by, what was her name? I Dream of Jeannie, right? Is that also available?
Yeah. Huh? Yep. So there's scripts and costumes and all kinds of, just props and things like that from these old television shows. This guy's collected all this and he's decided that, you know, it's ready for him to pass it on. So just a couple of them. He's got about 10,000 items. So Batman and Robin capes are for sale. He says that some of these things he wants to price so anybody can get in on this. Some start at $1. But from what I found, for instance, the Cheers bar, the bar from the show Cheers.
Right.
Bidding starts at $1.5
million. Yeah, okay.
Okay. The Bunker family living room.
Uh-huh.
That's at like $187,000.
The two chairs, Archie's chair, the comfortable chair, Edith's chairs, and okay.
The I Dream of Jeannie bottle, $75,000.
Okay. That seems about right.
Her outfit?
Yes.
$93,000.
Okay. All right. Again, you buy this stuff. You have to be like a crazy sick fan. Like, what are you going to do with it?
What
right?
are you going to do with it?
Johnny Carson's desk. I don't know if it's going to work for radio, but remember the day when Johnny Carson accidentally smashed his desk with a fruitcake?
Believe it, what I got today?
A fruitcake.
A fruitcake. I want to prove a point. Would you bring in the fruitcake, please? And you'll see what I mean.
Everybody's laughing because it's on a forklift.
Oh, it's on
a forklift? Yeah.
The fruitcake is so hot. It is so heavy.
How heavy is
yes,
it?
It is so heavy. They have a forklift, Ed. Is Doc here? Doc is not here. And then he smashes his desk with the fruitcake. Yeah. Did you ever go to Planet Hollywood? Remember when Planet Hollywood opened up? You could walk around in there, like behind the glass, there's Sylvester Stallone's boxing glove or something. It's like, then you go to the next stop, and then all the stuff you're supposed to look at. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that.
Awful.
And it was all most of the stuff in there was from the owners of the restaurant, like Bruce Willis owned it, Sylvester Stallone, all of these movie stars owned Planet Hollywood. So it was a lot of their stuff. But then they had, you know, other things. So like the Hard Rock Cafe where they had all the guitars and that type of stuff.
I went to the Planet Hollywood opening in Seattle. They invited me and a bunch of other people, local people on TV. And I was like, wow, look at this. Because they had all the celebrities were there. Well, they had two rooms. They had the room where they had all of us. And then they had the other room. And you couldn't get into the other room. That's where all the celebrities were. I talked to somebody. They go, oh, yeah, what they did is they went in that room, past all of you guys, into the other room, and then out the side door, out into limousines, and then out of town. No one was hanging around. Nobody wanted the Captain Crunch chicken fingers. Oh, I might see a celebrity while I'm here having really bad food. Oh, is that Whoopi Goldberg over there? What a weird concept.
I know, but it was kind of cool at the time. You have to admit, there was nothing else quite like it.
No.
And it,
No, you don't
think so? I thought it was cool.
Designed for people like you, obviously.
Well, clearly, yes, but that's okay. I'm of a simple mind.
That guy looks like Don Rickles. Is that Don Rickles?
I can hardly eat my soup. I didn't particularly find it like challenging to think, oh, maybe I'll run into somebody. It was just a unique, you know, decor.
It's just different. Sherry, it's okay. You don't have to apologize, all right?
No, I'm not. I'm just defending it.
You don't have to defend anything. All right?
Thank you, doctor.
You're welcome. Or that'll be $100.